Pray that the Lord would help us and bless us as we turn together to God's holy and precious word of truth for our instruction, the word that's upon my spirit. You'll find in Psalm 42 and verse 11. Psalm 42 and verse 11, where we read, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Well, I don't know about you, but I've been noticing in the past few months particularly that there's been a spate of deaths of celebrities and famous people, and some of them are very young, in their 20s, some of them are in their 40s, but they die all of a sudden. And you think, well, what happened? And you have to read a little bit between the lines. People use, or the news use, sort of code language. They don't really give you the exact details. They say that the cause of death is not being released, or you're not going to know the cause of death. They make a family announcement saying that, please can you give us a space and just leave us alone to get through this process of grieving. So they didn't die. I'm not going to tell you why, how they really died, whether it was natural or not. The police sometimes will say that they're not suspicious. In other words, it's not been a criminal event. But everyone says, well, how much this person was loved, or how much they meant to them. And then in the background, in some little places, you see here some snippets. Snippets like, so-and-so couldn't ever overcome their demons, i.e. some kind of troubled spirit that they had that they could never really overcome. Or they may have posted something on social media just before they die, and it was a dark posting, something not nice, something not positive, something that showed that they were in turmoil. Others, it's the family that speak out and say, well, so and so didn't ever seek any help. They had medical or mental health problems and didn't seek help. Well, in many cases, the suspicion is, and we don't know, but the suspicion is, and no one admits it, but the suspicion is that maybe they've taken their own life. And these people then are in despair if that is the case. They've got to the point where there's no hope at all. They cannot see anything positive in their lives whatsoever. And so they take their own life. And what's, I suppose, in a way frustrating about this, apart from all the sorrow of what's going on, is that you see, it's Satan's view of the world that he promotes widely, that we can all abandon God. We can all do our own thing and we'll be better off. That is the way of the world. That is the creed of Satan in so many ways. We'll be better off turning our backs on God, ignoring God, and we'll be better off. But we're not told the truth that these people, many of them, have done all sorts of famous things, and yet they're in despair. And so Satan saying that you'll be better off is a lie, and that lie is widespread in the world around us. Satan and the world make out this is a normal consequence that, well, people die, but we don't all end up in despair. You see, Satan's ending up getting people ending up in despair where there's no hope at all. And so his lie that you'll be better off is a lie. These people, you see, they may have been living lives, massively disobeying God, completely riding roughshod over the truth of God's word, and yet they're entertaining millions. They're so-called loved by the world. Some of them go out with the most handsome men or the most beautiful women in the world. They live in palaces. They jet set around the world. And their lives look better off. It looks as if Satan got it right. And yet, no one tells us the truth that maybe these people were ultimately in despair. They had no hope. And they took their own lives. Because you see, the truth of the word of God is different from the lies of Satan. The lies of Satan tells us that you can abandon God and do as you like and all will be fine. The word of God, the truth of God, you know, the Bible is lovingly written to every single one of us. It's written by God, our Heavenly Father, to tell us the truth about the world that we're living in, to tell us the truth about ourselves, to tell us the truth about our limitations, and to tell the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to remove all limitations from us and bring us out of this sin-cursed world into his eternal kingdom, to be with him forever and ever, which truly is far better. And yet, Satan tells us, no, turn your back on God, and that is the way that it will be better. God's precious word tells us the wages of sin is death. The outcome, the consequences of sinning is death. And yet, their deaths of these people are brushed under the carpet and just glossed over, and all we hear about is what a loving person they were and this kind of thing. You see, we are being deceived. The truth of the word of God is thrown out of the window, if you like. You see, in so many ways, it is these people are wanting control. They believe that they can be in control. They want to control all things. They want to control their death, their time, the way of their death. And yet it's all unbelief. Because the Bible tells us here, and it tells all of us here, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? You may be feeling downcast. You may be feeling disquieted. There's no rest or peace. You may be unrestful. Well, that's a word. But you may be anxious and all this kind of thing. And the Bible asks you the question, is there a genuine reason why? Is there a genuine reason why you need to be downcast? Is there a genuine reason why you are disquieted? And it's a rhetorical question. It's a question which is not a direct answer, but the answer is, hope thou in God. You see, these people are unbelieving in such a thing as a hope in God. There are three cases that I can think of in the Bible of people that have taken their own lives. And in each case, the case of Saul, for example. The case of Saul, he wanted to avoid the abuse that he thought he would be getting when he was captured by the Philistines. He didn't want to be tortured by the Philistines, and so he took his own life. Because he thought that there was no one that could help him. And yet when we are in circumstances like that, the Bible tells us, why are you cast down and why are you disquieted? The advice is, the instruction is, hope thou in God. Look to God to see how he is able to deal with the circumstances. Be believing that he is able to do exceeding abundantly and above what we can ask and think in the circumstances that we are in. But Saul was an unbeliever. He didn't think there was a God that could help him. And so he was in despair and took his own life. Ahithophel, the friend of David originally, who turned against David in the end, when David was running away from Absalom, Ahithophel gave advice. And actually the advice really was good, but in God's purposes, he was ignored. They didn't listen to what Absalom didn't listen to what Ahithophel said. And Ahithophel could not face the fact that his advice had been ignored. It was such a shame to him that his advice had been ignored that he could not face the future. And he took his own life. For him, unless he was the number one in his little world, there was no point living. We're not always going to be number one in the world. It's not always going to be that everyone's listening to us. There may be times when you're feeling cast down because you may be feeling ignored and not listened to. And you may be feeling disquieted or anxious about it. But you see, the Word of God says if you are feeling like that and you're in not the greatest of circumstances, hope thou in God, because God is able to change that which is very, very small into that which is very blessed. God is able to change that which looks like it's impossible to succeed into that which is a blessing. Ahithophel was an unbeliever in God. He died an unbeliever that God could help him out. And Judas Iscariot was the third person I was thinking of, who also obviously made a massive mistake in betraying the Lord Jesus, and he realized that he'd made a massive mistake, but he was an unbeliever that there was anything that could be done. We know that our God is able to save unto the uttermost. Obviously, I'm not going to suggest that Judas, because we know the future, we know what happened, but that Judas could have been saved. That is beyond me. And it's not the subject for us to debate about today. The point of today's message is, you may be thinking you've made some massive mistakes. You may be thinking that things have gone wrong in your life and therefore there's no hope. But that is not the truth. The truth of God's word, the Lord Jesus and God the Heavenly Father has written his word to you for exactly like people like you that feel like they've made too many big mistakes and there's no hope for you, to show you that there is forgiveness with God, who is able to save unto the uttermost them that confess their sins to him. These three that we've just mentioned, Judas, Ahithophel and Saul, died as unbelievers, and as far as the word of God tells us, they were taken to hell forever and ever and ever. Now, I'm not saying, I don't know, God is sovereign, and how God deals with each individual person, it's not for me to judge. What we have before us is God's precious word that tells us that there's a message today, that however downcast, however despairing, and however disquieted you may be about your circumstances today, the message isn't to think about what the consequences might be and all sorts of ramifications and complex this, that and the other. That isn't what we're here today for. The message of today is that if you are in those circumstances, hope thou in God. There is a message in the Word of God for the downcast and the disquieted. And the reason that there is a message there is because the Bible doesn't just gloss over man's problems. If you look at people's posts on social media, most of the time you see a glossy exterior and everything looks like it's perfect. But the Bible doesn't think that about people. And the Bible doesn't make out that that is how people are. The Bible comes where we are and tells us that you may be thinking at various times that you're cast down in your soul. And you may be thinking in your soul that you're disquieted. There's a message for you today in God's Word. And what is so amazing about God's Word is that it is able to lift us up from the lowest position that we can ever get ourselves into. Because things happen in our lives. Big mistakes happen in our lives. Shameful situations happen in our lives. Bereavements happen in our lives. Bad news happens in our lives. There's an endless list. And there are many of them are beyond you. Many of them you'd think, well, there's no remedy. There's no way out. But you see, the Bible does not leave us without anything that can be done. That's the really important message. The Bible shows us and knows the human situation and knows that there's many things that we can't sort out ourselves. And yet it tells us that this is a truth. Don't expect that you can solve everything in your life. That's why we read Job. Because Job, in chapter 40, God there reasons with Job, and it's amazing really, because it's as if God is saying, right, we're now going to have a man-to-man conversation. If you really think that you are righteous in your own sight, and if you really think that you're arguing and can instruct the Almighty, instruct God, then let's have a conversation. And Job was answered out of a whirlwind. So for to start with, you and I talk with our little voices. God speaks out of a whirlwind, out of like a tornado. There's something that is terrifying if we are caught up in it. And in this conversation that God has with Job, he asks a question in verse 8, and it says, wilt thou disannul my judgment? Now, that's a bit of a complicated thing to say, but what it really means is, Job, are you going to cancel the day of your death? Are you, Job, going to cancel any kind of problem in your life? Well, that was patently not right, was it? Because he was in terrible trouble. If he was able to do everything for himself, he wouldn't even have been in the problem that he was in. But the fact that he was in those problems is proof that he was unable to cancel the trouble that he was in. He was unable to cancel the curse. He is unable to cancel the day of judgment. You and I, you see, it's exactly, you can't cancel your death. You can't cancel trouble and say, well, I'm banning trouble out of my life from now on. We'd all love that, wouldn't we? But it's not realistic. And it's an answer to this question that Job is asked by God. It's obviously not able to be done. And even more, are you able to cancel your judgment of going either to heaven or hell? Can you organise that? And then he goes on. This is God speaking to Job. Will you condemn me? In other words, are you, Job, going to be able to arrest God so that God is put, if you like, in a prison, so that God is out of the way, so that we can get on with our life the way we want to? It's God speaking, and it sounds ridiculous. How can we arrest God and put him in a prison? But that's what God was saying. Can you do that, Job? If you can, then in some respects, he says, then you can save yourself, verse 14. But if you can't, then you're reliant on God. And you see, this is true of all of us. We cannot, if you like, condemn God. We cannot say to God, you're under, and I speak this reverently, but this is how it is, you're under arrest and you're not going to be involved in my life anymore. We can't do that. And then verse 9, have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like him? Can you make the earthquakes? Can you, Job, make volcanoes? Can you make tsunamis? Can you make hurricanes or whirlwinds? Or can you stop them for that matter? You know, human nature needs to understand that there are things that are massively beyond us. This is what God is telling us. Don't think your everything's under your control, because it isn't. And then he goes on. Verse 11, cast abroad the rage of thy wrath. God can cast abroad the rage of his wrath, and he can bring time to an end. He can bring the last day of the day of judgment. But can we do that? Of course we can't. Can we behold everyone that is proud and abase him? There are people in this world that have tremendous power, and many people would love to reduce their power. I'm thinking of the likes of dictators like Putin and others that we would love to be at peace with Russia, for example, rather than at war. But can you behold everyone that is proud and abase him, Job? Of course we can't. This is so important. The Word of God tells us that there are things that are beyond us. And because there are things that are beyond us, do not trust your right hand to save you. If, verse 14, if you confess, if you can do these things, then I will also confess unto you that thine own right hand can save thee. This is a God to Job conversation. And God is saying to Job, if you can genuinely say yes, I can do all those things, then God himself will say and confess, well, in that case, your right hand can save you. But the inference there is that, of course, our right hand cannot save us. We are not to listen to Satan's lies, that we can just organise our own good without God. The Bible tells us very clearly, if we are without God and God's help, we are without hope in the world. The only long-term future for us without God is death and hell. That's why there's no hope, you see. Satan gives us a false hope. And you can build your life upon a false hope. And the circumstances that we've been talking about, people taking their own lives, is evidence that those false hopes vanish and fade. And the last things you hear about some of these people is darkness and depression and difficulty. But, so we see, unbelief in God leads to disaster. Unbelief in God, thinking that no one can help me, is the road to ruin. But the Bible teaches us much, much more. The Bible teaches us the gospel. That you and I cannot do anything to save ourselves, but that the Lord Jesus Christ is come into the world as a man to show other men and women and boys and girls that there is a way through this world, through the worst problems ever that can be thrown at us through this world, to glory. That is the really important message of the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ has a message for mankind that it doesn't matter how difficult the problem that you are in is, he has got through worse. He has died a death on a cross. He has been buried in a tomb. He has risen out of the grave. And he is ascended to heaven and at the right hand of God in heaven. And he has the wounds of his nails in his hands and his feet, but they are wounds that show victory. They are wounds that show that death has been overcome. Death was not enough to stop him in his tracks. Death was a process that he went through to show that there is a way to glory. And it's one way. And it's through the cross. And it's to glory. And you and I, you know, the message of the gospel is to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus, believing he knows the way, the only way, to eternal life. The Bible is written by people who saw Jesus alive on earth after they had seen him hanging dead on the cross and buried in a tomb. They saw Jesus alive upon earth. They are the witnesses. That's what the apostles are. They are witnesses, eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ's life after his death. The Lord Jesus Christ, there are eyewitnesses of how he ascended up into heaven. There were, I don't know how many, dozens of people perhaps around when he was talking with them on that hillside somewhere in Israel when he ascended up from them and went up, and they were looking as he went up until the cloud covered him. And when the cloud covered him, then there were people that witnessed, not just one, two, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, anything will be established. Two people, two shining angels, came and stood with those people and said, "This Jesus is now taken up into heaven. That's where he has gone." You see, the Lord Jesus is witness that he has gone through this world. He has gone through the worst of deaths, the worst of burials, and he is now in glory on the right hand of his Father. And the Lord Jesus calls you and me to believe that he did not just do these things for himself. He did these things to open up a way to others so that we too can go through this world and the very worst problems that ever can confront us in this world and bring us through those problems, gain victory over those problems and bring us to glory. That is the important message of the word of God. And yes, there will be reasons to be downcast. And yes, there will be reasons so that my soul is disquieted within me. And our sins would be one of those massive reasons. My mistakes, my sins. But you see, we are to go through the cross. And you take your sins and you tell the Lord Jesus in fellowship with his sufferings. You see, we come to the Lord Jesus and we tell him these sins, this sin, A particular sin, perhaps, that you've committed is so grievous that you now know that that sin deserves that you should be in hell, you should be dead forever. And we come to the Lord Jesus with that sin. And we plead that the Lord Jesus will be forgiving us our sins. We come to the cross, you see. We tell him of the consequences of those sins. And we plead that as the Lord Jesus has overcome sin on our behalf, so he may give us forgiveness. Take away those sins, take away the consequences of our sins, and give us blessing. That gives us hope. Hope, vow in God. There is no grounds for hope in me because of my sins. There is only one outcome for me because of my sins without God in the equation, and that is death and hell. But the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, if you are disquieted in your soul because of such things, hope thou in God. Come with your burdens, your problems and your needs to the feet of the Lord Jesus, to the feet of the cross, how you hear those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus saves unto the uttermost them that come unto me. Jesus is not fazed by the extent of your sins. He knows about your sins already. What he longs for is that we enter into the fellowship of his suffering. Take up that cross. Declare what cross we deserve for our sins with him, believing that he is able to bring us through. Like an Ahithophel, you may be so embarrassed about your life as to how things have worked out. You may be full of shame. Well, take that shame like Jesus to the cross. Jesus was mocked. Jesus was jeered at. Jesus was at least his top half of his body stripped naked so that you could count his ribs, as it says in Psalm 22. Jesus was shamed on the cross. But you see, the wonderful thing it is that Jesus came through the shame. He endured the shame and is set down at the right hand of God. And you and I are to come and endure the shame. It may be embarrassing, it may be humiliating, it may be humbling, it may be all kinds of things, but you take your problem to the Lord Jesus, and you will see in Jesus Christ one that is able to lift you from the lowest position that you can ever get to in this world into glory itself. You can go through all kinds of situations of reasons for being cast down and disquieted. And I should have mentioned in prayer for dear James and Samsey and the family. I apologise for missing out. We've been praying for them a tremendous lot. But you see, there's a reason why they are cast down. And there may be a reason why they are disquieted within them. And at the time when we were going through all that we went through in that week when Josh was laying between life and death, there was a situation where we had every reason to be downcast from a natural perspective. There was very little chance that he could pull through. And then there was a soul that was going to be going into eternity. We couldn't cure him, neither could the doctors and the nurses, and neither can we save him. You see, this is the limitations of mankind. But I want to bring into the equation the Lord Jesus Christ. Because where the limitations of mankind are clearly confessed, clearly owned up to, where we come and say, well, there's no point looking into ourselves, but we are looking up to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can take these things, and we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he healed other people that were dead and in a grave for 4 days, he would have been and could have been able to save dear Josh, but it wasn't to be. But then there's something to rejoice greatly in that the prayers for Josh's soul. We bring a soul that is, we have no idea where it is. Like all of our souls, we come before the Lord Jesus, they are broken, they are lost, and they are ruined, as I was when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we bring such souls to him, and the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do wonderful things. You see, as he was broken himself, the Lord Jesus, he is and rose again, so he is able to do these things. And so what a wonderful thing. You and I can come with a soul of someone like that, and to, like Jesus, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So the Lord Jesus is able to take the souls of his people and care for them forever and ever. This isn't anything to do with us having things under our control at all. But this is handing over these things into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope thou in God. And as Jesus' spirit was taken into the hands of his Father, so others that have followed in Jesus' footsteps, I'm thinking of Stephen when he was being martyred, being stoned, in those last moments, he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I have a soul that is leaving my body. I have a soul that I cannot determine where it is going to go. But I have a soul that I entrust into the care of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that he is able to care for me for all eternity. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. There is no real reason why we should be disquieted. Things are out of our control. But categorically, with all the power of a God that created the universe, we have a Jesus that is able to look after us. To follow the Lord Jesus. It will be his way. When those disciples on the Emmaus Road said to the Lord Jesus, we thought Jesus was going to be the one that was going to save Israel. They had their idea as to how someone would save Israel. Jesus did save Israel. But let me tell you, he saved Israel and all of the hosts of God's people throughout the ages. He saved them his way. He saved them his way by overcoming death itself. Overcoming the very worst that we can ever get ourselves involved with in this time state. There is therefore a reason to be hoping in God. Ought not Christ, says Jesus, to suffer and to have had all these things happen? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? He had to go through the sufferings to enter into glory. You and I will have to go through the cross, the disquieting circumstances, the cast down circumstances. Yes, they'll be there, all right. But don't go looking at yourself. Don't go looking inwardly. Don't go looking at humanity. Don't go looking at this world. Hope thou in God. This is the answer, you see. This is the Lord Jesus' way. Is your prayer in your life, and this is a prayer that every single one of us needs to be involved with. This is a prayer that the Word of God tells you you've got a soul. The Word of God tells you you've got a never dying soul. The Word of God tells you you've got a soul that is going to spend an eternity somewhere, in heaven or in hell. And the way that I go, my way, things under my control, is the road to disaster and hell and despair. But if you're cast down about these things, if you're disquieted and anxious about these things, there is a message, an instruction, hope thou in God. The name of the Lord Jesus is not known in the Old Testament. It was revealed to us in Matthew chapter 1, the very first chapter of the New Testament. It was unknown in the Old Testament. This word God here is hope thou in God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, hope thou in Jesus Christ. You and I are to come with that soul that's going to live forever and plead that as going to a dear shepherd, Jesus declares himself as a dear shepherd. A dear shepherd that is able to care for his sheep that believe in him and that do not believe in themselves. You see, the world are unbelievers in God and believers in themselves. You and I are to be unbelievers in ourselves and unbelievers in the world and believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as a good shepherd that genuinely, lovingly, tenderly cares for us, the one that tells us that he is going to lead us in green pastures, here is a reason, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. That basically means that I'm going to be thanking God, I'm going to be praising God. What's countenance? Countenance is the look of your face. Has your face got a smile on it? Is it relaxed? Is it happy? Is it content? Is it joyful? Is it thankful? Is it praising? Or is it in despair? Here, this is the route to a countenance that is healthy, the countenance that is praising, a countenance that is thanking, a countenance that is content. I shall yet praise him. The future from now for all eternity is a future of praising God, praising the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the reason why I have a happy face, the reason why I have a happy countenance, the reason why I have a content countenance, the reason why I am thankful, because Jesus Christ has come where I am in the deepest, darkest dumps and is able to deliver me to where I have no right to be by myself. It is only by God's grace. It is only by God's mercy. It is only by God's goodness and kindness that I will ever be there. And yet, you see, he says, I will lead you beside the still waters. I will lead you in those green pastures. The future for a sheep is bright with green pastures and still waters. The future for the soul in Jesus Christ's tender, loving care is bright because he will provide. He will make sure that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. That's the future. Satan tells you his lies that you can be better without this good shepherd. You could be better fending for yourself. Job had to understand that fending for himself was a non-starter. You and I, fending for ourselves, we have to understand that's a non-starter. But the Lord Jesus tells us goodness and mercy surely, absolutely, definitely will follow you all the days of your life. And you, what's more, shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Your never-dying soul, which needs a never-ending promise of eternal happiness, receives this never-ending promise of eternal happiness from Jesus Christ. I cannot, you cannot, no one can give our souls never-ending happiness or a promise of never-ending happiness. There's a reason for being downcast and cast down, because I cannot do this thing for myself. But there is a reason to be hopeful and encouraged and positive, because the Lord Jesus Christ, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because Jesus Christ is able to do such things for us. We shall yet praise him. It's a very, very delicate subject, but I pray for the family of dear Josh, that they may see, despite everything that they've been through, that there is a hope in God, and there is a reason to be thankful that God has heard many, many prayers, because Josh is now where it is far better. He never wants to come back to this world, a veil of sin and tears. Because if we are knowing for sure, face to face, a hope in God, a trust in God, then there is every reason for all eternity to be praising God, who is the help of my countenance and my God. And though we wouldn't always see things and work things out that way, for sure, yet what a wonderful thing is our Jesus, the ultimate aim for each one of us, ultimate end of and the goal of life, the reason for being here is for our eternal existence. And the great question is my eternal existence going to be with the Lord Jesus? If you say, well, I can't work that out, I can't know, I don't know what to do, you may be downcast about that. The Bible tells us, hope thou in God. The door, the key, the lock is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. He only can unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And we then will have every reason, no reason to be downcast or disquieted at all for all eternity. Because then it won't just be a hope in God, it will be our God with us for all eternity. And we praising him from the bottom of our hearts with a huge smile on our face because of what he has done for our souls. May God add his blessing. Let us pray. Oh dear Lord Jesus, dear Lord God, our Heavenly Father, dear Lord the Holy Spirit, we bring the souls of each one before thee and pray, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt reveal thyself as the hope of mankind, womankind, boy and girl, each one here. Lord Jesus, may we proclaim Satan to be that liar. May we proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ to be the one that speaks the truth. And dear Lord Jesus, switch off our ears to the lies of Satan. Open our hearts, Lord Jesus, to the truth about thyself. That each one of us here may be gathered one day around that throne of God in heaven with those that have already gone before, too many to name. But Lord, that we may join them there because we look to thee, Lord Jesus, as our only hope of salvation. Lord, bless us each, we plead. So we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.